Are we facing the end of time? There are seven signs that convince us that the world is coming to an end. All that and more coming up next. Wind up your brains. It's time for Faith Factor.
It's time to take a hard look at culture and reality. The cultural war is on.
Conflict. Bible. Reality. Conflict. Faith Factor.
It's time to take a hard look at culture and reality. The cultural war is on.
Faith Factor.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are. My name is Rod Hembry. We are talking about the end of time, and no, this is not one of those strange subcultural programs like, for example, the X-Files, the lone gunmen who are running around looking for conspiracy theories all over the place. However, there are some very significant things that change the way we see the world and the time that we live in. Now, what does the Bible, if anything, have to say about that? There are seven signs that point to the end of time. And on this Faith Factor program, we're going to explore some of those signs. Now, it's very important that we keep an open mind. Now, remember that culture is something that you cannot see. If you do something in your life that's normal to you, you cannot see something that's normal. But something that is not normal, you recognize right away. In other words, culture is invisible. Well, this world is changing. All of cultures around the world are fading into an ambient culture of humanism and secular man. But there is something that's changing the way we think about religion and the Bible. We'll explore it on this issue of Faith Factor as the end of time approaches. Stay there. We'll be back. When we return, a message to the believer and a message to the unbeliever, along with the first two signs that we live in the end of time. When Faith Factor continues, we'll talk about it. I'm Rod Hembry.
It's time to take a hard look at culture and reality. The cultural war is on.
Faith Factor is a presentation of the Quick Study television program taking you through the Bible in 1 year. If you would like more information about going through the Bible in 1 year and learning from the world's best-selling book, then you can write to us, write to Quick Study, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G2. That's Quick Study, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G2. And ask information about the Quick Study Pocket Guides that take you through the Bible in 1 year.
It's time to take a hard look at culture and reality. The cultural war is on.
Faith Factor will be right back.
The cultural war continues.
There's no money.
I hate my job.
I can't take it.
I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly.
This is an accident.
I want a divorce.
Please see a doctor.
It's cancer.
Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest.
Discover life's answer in the Bible. This message has been brought to you by FamilyNet and your Southern Baptist friends.
Faith Factor. Faith Factor.
Conflict.
Bible.
Reality.
Reality.
Conflict. Faith Factor.
It's time to take a hard look at culture and reality. The cultural war is on.
Faith Factor.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are, and this is Rod Hembry with Faith Factor back with you. We're taking a look today at seven signs that we live in a very unique time in history. Now, before we get started, there will be a lot of people who talk to me and say, well, you know, I've heard people talking about the end of time for a long time. How come today seems to be, you know, the end of time? Everybody's talking about it being today. Well, you know, without the Bible involved, let me just address that with one secular fact. And that secular fact is this. Every weapon that mankind has ever made, he has used on himself. Whether that is spears, arrows, knives, guns, bombs. And now today, in today's world, our technology has reached a place And in this place, we find ourselves in the only situation in all of human history where we have enough power to destroy the planet 21 times over. Now, history is not on our side. Folks, there is a time that is predicted in the Bible when there will be a nuclear confrontation. We'll get to that a little bit later on Faith Factor. Right now, I want to talk, first of all, to the believer in the Bible, in the Word of God. Then I want to talk to the unbeliever. And I want to talk to you from the Scripture. That is to say, the last book of the Bible called Revelation, which simply means the unveiling. I would take you to a time when the angel of the Lord is addressing John, the disciple who is seeing this revelation, on the Isle of Patmos. Now, John, of course, was put in prison for his faith in the one called Jesus Christ. This is pretty typical in history. Jesus Christ has had followers, and pretty much all throughout history, the followers of Jesus Christ have been beaten, tortured, killed, maimed, raped, and put in prison because people in this world of the secular mindset do not like this one called Jesus Christ. Some people say, well, I like him because he was a moral man. Well, moral men don't lie, and Jesus said he is the way, truth, and the light. Moral men don't accept worship of themselves. Jesus Christ did. So you see, you either accept Jesus for who he is, or you don't accept him at all. He is either a Lord, the beginning and the end, or he is a lunatic. And you can't have Jesus the way you want him. You either accept Jesus as he is, or you don't accept him at all. Back to Revelation chapter 3. John turns to see this revelation, and the angel begins to speak to him. And the first word is to those who are believers. Here is what it says, beginning with verse 1 in Revelation 3. And to the angel of the church at Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. That is to say, the one called Jesus. Back to the scripture. I know your works, church at Sardis, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Revelation 3, verses 1 through 5. To the believer, I would say that it is important how we present ourselves before God, not before man. It is important that we present ourselves worthy before God and not before man. And that's what this passage means, and it's a word to the believers today. How do we do that? There is only one way, according to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and that way is through the one called Jesus Christ. Now to the unbeliever. I would simply say to you, according to Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20, listen carefully to what the Spirit of God that lives beyond your life says. Quote, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent now. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So to the unbeliever, I would simply say to you that there is a time, a window of opportunity for you to connect with the Creator of all time, the Creator of all matter, the Creator of all the universe. You say, well, Rod, the scientists tell me that it all started with a Big Bang. The problem is this. You start with nothing and then you have an explosion. Everybody knows that an explosion comes from something. Well, where did it all come from? Well, it came from the Word of God. Came from information, the designer, the creator. Yes, there is one. And that's what we're really going to be talking about today as we look at the seven signs of the end of time. You see, if there was a beginning, there will be predictably an end. And if there is a design, then there is a designer. If there is a creation, then there is a creator. Now, when we return on Faith Factor, we're going to briefly look at the seven signs that demonstrate, according to the Word of God, of which there are over 5,600 documents backing it up. And there's only, believe it or not, there's fewer than 660 documents backing up Homer's Iliad, yet we never question that. And there's only seven backing up Shakespeare, nobody questions that. But in the Bible, there are over 5,560 documents backing it up. It's astounding, folks. We're going to talk about what the Bible says about the end of time, the seven signs of the end of time, when we continue with Faith Factor. Stay there. I'm Rod Hembree.
Faith Factor, we'll be right back.
The cultural war continues.
The Bible is an amazing book of 66 books written by over 40 authors over 2,000 years, and if you've never gone through the Bible, you're missing quite an experience. We have a new program to help you go through the Bible in 1 year. It's called the Quick Study Pocket Guides. There are 12 of them, one for every month of the year. We'll send them to you automatically if you want to join us as a partner. Now, how do you become a partner of this radio ministry? Very simply, you just donate in any amount on a regular basis, and we'll be glad to send you every month your Quick Study Pocket Guide. What you do is you write to Quick Study, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G2. And when you write, send an offering, and as we send them back to you, you can make an offering every month to help keep this radio station and this radio program on the air. Write again for your Quick Study Pocket Guide to P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G2.
The Bible, true or false?
Conflict theology.
Reality.
Rod Hembree back here with Faith Factor. You know, in our modern world and our modern minds, we think that we have achieved some kind of great accomplishment when we sit down and think about all the technology involved. Some would say we have reached the age of Aquarius, the Enlightenment age, the perfection. You know, it was back in 580 BC when it was Buddha who said that he had reached enlightenment underneath a fig tree. And yet all this time has passed and we still have any kind of enlightenment to reach when it comes to finding purpose, when it comes to finding meaning, when it comes to finding any kind of sense of reality. In today's world, we have become involved in a very sensuous culture, a sensate culture. Harold O.J. Brown wrote a book called The Sensate Culture. And in it, he talks about mind control and where we've all lined up. What does this have to do with prophecy and the seven signs of the end of time according to the Bible? Well, we're going to get to that, but before we do, let me seed your mind with some thoughts. First of all, Harold Brown, as I said, writer of The Sensate Culture, page 53, says something interesting, and I'd like to quote it to you. It says, "A sensate culture believes only what it can prove or it thinks it can prove, and it trusts only what it can test or thinks it can test." Now, I want you to be aware that there are things we think we can prove that we cannot, things we think we can test that we cannot. In our modern sensate culture, we are trained, in fact, we are rewarded to be what we call faithless people. People who cannot, if we can't see it, touch it, feel it, or hear it, it does not exist. Now, the irony and the absurdity of this is that our great cosmic pranksters like Stephen Hawking or the great cosmic pessimist like the late Carl Sagan, they say that 95% or more of the universe is literally undetectable. Now imagine that. In our culture, we think that if we can detect it, it's real, yet our cosmologists are telling us that we can't detect it with our present technology or the senses that we have in our mind, body, and soul. Now isn't that interesting? They include soul. The Bible has something different to say about what the wisdom is in your soul. I would take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19, as we continue to seed your mind and prepare ourselves to understand the seven signs of the end of times. "For the wisdom of this world," Paul says, "is foolishness with God. He goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 19, "For it is written, he catches," he being God, "he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile." Now, this is very important to understand, that the mind's eye and the physical eye is something very different. There is a spiritual sense that we've been cut off from because of something called sin. Yes, that little three-letter word that nobody likes to use anymore. A key component to making sense out of our surroundings today, both spiritually and materially, is a resetting of our minds, literally a healing of our minds. Now, when you look at the world, what do you see? When you look around and take a look at the circumstances, take a look at the news, what is it that you see? Well, the answer to that question depends on where your mind is, not the sharpness of your observation skills. Both you and I can observe the same thing, but wherever your mind is at, it's going to interpret those facts differently. That's very important to remember. With that in mind, I would like to take you to a place called Colossae, and it is where Paul wrote the letter of Colossians. There was a church there. Today, there's nothing left of that city. It's over in the Middle East. But he would say this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. "If then you were raised with Christ," talking to believers who actually believe in Christ now, "if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting." He is sitting at the right hand of God. In other words, Paul tells believers that we are to seek those things that are not of this world, but those things that are of the world to come. That is where we're to set our minds. Matter of fact, in verse 2 and 3 of Colossians 3, here is what it says. "Set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." What a fascinating thought that is. Our lives are literally hidden in the future. The believer can stand and say, "My life is not what it seems to be today, but my real life is hidden with Christ in my future." That's fascinating. Colossians 3, verse 4 and 5 continue, "When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore," here's what Paul says as a result of knowing this, "therefore, put to death the members of your body which are on earth." That is to say, spiritual uncleanness, sexual immorality, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry, the worship of things or other people instead of God. "Put these things aside. Because of these things," Paul says, "the wrath of God is coming upon what he calls the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked, when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these things. Put off anger, get rid of wrath, get rid of malice, get rid of speaking against the Holy Spirit or blasphemy, get rid of filthy language, cruel, coarse jokes. Let them not come out of your mouth." And then he goes on to say, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with its deeds and have put on the new man, who is rewarded in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him." What is Paul saying? Paul is saying, in order to understand what's really going on, to have the spiritual correct mind's eye, you need to focus your thoughts on things above and change the way you live. Now, I bet you that's probably the first time you've heard somebody say that in order to understand prophecy, you have to correct your character with God. But it's true. To understand the prophetic utterances of the Bible or the Word of God, to understand these seven signs that I'm going to bring to you today, we must repent and bring ourselves to the knowledge of God and say, "You know what, Lord, I need a healed mind." Now, keep in mind, this is exactly what Jesus said to a man called Nicodemus. He said to Nicodemus, "Unless you are born again, you cannot enter or see the kingdom of God." So, in order to understand what the Bible says, the believer must realize that he has to understand and know what it is to be born again, because it's like a key understanding the kingdom of heaven. Now, when we continue, we'll talk more about this, and in just a moment, we're going to talk about the seven signs of the end of time. I'm Rod Hembree. Faith Factor will continue.
Faith Factor. We'll be right back.
The cultural war continues.
The Bible is the world's best-selling book, but probably the world's least read book, and yet it is full of treasures that will change your life. If you've never gone through the Bible from cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation, then you can join us in 2004. We have 12 pocket guides available for all of those who become partners with this radio ministry. If you'd like to do so, these beautiful pocket guides contain 5 daily life lessons, what we read, and the reading assignments for the day. 12 of them will be sent over the course of the year for anybody who becomes a regular partner. To become a regular partner, just send a gift in any amount, pray about what God would have you do, and send it to Quick Study, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G2. That's Quick Study, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G2. We'll be looking for your letter today. Please include your prayer request.
It's time to take a hard look at culture and reality. The cultural war is on.
Rod Hembry back with you. You know, it's true. We are in a cultural war. There's no question about that. And as we look at the end of time, we look for 7 signs that tell us that we are indeed in the end of time. And I'd like to just go through a couple of them with you. And we can take a look at this from the point of view of the scripture. Keep in mind what we said on top of the program, that in fact we have to be able to see the kingdom of God to understand all this. But the Bible lays it out because God doesn't want us to be caught in ignorance. In fact, God desires us to know. So he presents in his Bible biblical evidence for the following 7 signs. Here they are. Number 1, Israel as a nation, the homecoming of Israel. Number 2, Jerusalem being a problem. Number 3, the uniting of ancient Rome. We're seeing it. Number 4, the Middle East peace disaster. Number 5, the rebuilding of old Babylon. Number 6, the new world order. And that is the worship of the UN. And number 7, the lies and the doctrine of demons in the last days. Briefly, let's talk quickly about Israel, the homecoming. The Bible predicts in Jeremiah 30, Ezekiel 34, and Zechariah 10 that Israel must become a nation in order for there to be a time of the end. Well, guess what? In 1871, the idea of a return began. In 1882, 25,000 Jews had come back to the homeland. In 1897, the first Zionist Congress emerged. In 1917, the British declared the Arthur J. Balfour Declaration on November the 2nd. And in fact, it was in 1948, May, that the United Nations approved that the Jews have a homeland, and thus the nation of Israel emerged. This is all prophesied, Ezekiel 37, it's all prophesied in the Bible. Number one reason we're in the end of times. This is the only time in history that Israel has emerged again as a nation in the last 2,000 years. Amazing. Secondly, Jerusalem will be a problem. Everybody looks to Jerusalem. There's 802 verses about this city called Jerusalem. And Zechariah 12 predicts that Jerusalem will be the contention of all nations in the end of time. Listen to Zechariah 12, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding peoples reeling. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem. And on that day when all the nations in the earth gather against her, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations, and all who try to move it will themselves be injured. So the scripture tells us in Zechariah that Jerusalem is a key factor in the end of time, and we have seen that. Jerusalem is a problem. Number 3, the uniting of ancient Rome. Now Daniel 2 and Daniel 7 explain that Rome never really died, but it will be united under 10 world leaders, or 10 powers, according to Daniel 2 and Daniel 7. Now, we're looking for that today, but one of the most amazing things to remember is Rome never was defeated or conquered in that sense. 476, Rome was not defeated, but it was divided up. So today, modern-day Europe is ancient Rome. And you know, in the last 100 years, there have been 2 major events that have brought about the need for uniting ancient Europe, you know what it is, or ancient Rome? World War I and World War II. And of course, the euro currency has emerged because of that. Everybody wants peace, so we've got to unite ancient Rome, which is Europe. Number four, the Middle East peace disaster. And in the end of time, it says that there will be difficulty and there will be no peace. In fact, since Israel became a nation in 1948, 21 Arab nations surrounding Israel have in fact been at war against Israel and remain that way to this day. Well, the Bible predicts that peace will come, and it will come from the Antichrist. It will not be a peace that lasts. This is Matthew 24. This is Daniel 9:27. This is 1 Thessalonians 5. Folks, the peace will not last because halfway through that, there's going to be a rebellion of the Jews against the Antichrist. Real peace will come when Jesus comes. So now the Middle East peace disaster is predicted in the Bible. Number five, the rebuilding of the ancient city of Babylon. It's predicted in Zechariah 5, and in fact, this is interesting because the rebuilt Babylon is predicted to be totally destroyed in Isaiah chapter 13, Isaiah 46, and Jeremiah 50, three different places in the Bible. See, ancient Babylon was never really destroyed, and so it's being rebuilt today. Saddam Hussein had a lot to do with that. We don't have time to go into all of those details today, but it's fascinating to note that the fifth sign is the rebuilding of the ancient city of man called Babylon. Then the New World Order, the worship of the UN. And all you have to do is look around today, and Revelation 13 comes to mind. It says that the Antichrist will be given authority over all people, all tongues, all nation. It'll be given to him. In fact, it goes on to say in Revelation 13, you won't be able to buy or sell without receiving the mark on the right hand and on the foreheads of the beast. No one will be able to do work with that. Now the tools are in place, everything's here. So the New World Order, involving a religious kind of order, is already emerging as we see groups all over the world worshiping the UN. And finally, the last day lovers and liars, I say. It's 1 Timothy 4, and here's what it says. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. There is this prediction that in the end of time there will be a great religious fervor dedicated to the demonic doctrines and the demonic forces. And we see this happening even today. Jesus said it this way, in the times as it was in the times of Noah, so shall it be in the end of time, when the sons of God, meaning the fallen angels, came and united with the daughters of men. This worship of demons will result in this terrible, terrible thing. These are the seven signs of the end of times. Okay, so what can you do about it? When we continue, we're going to introduce you to the possibility of considering Jesus Christ in your life. When Faith Factor continues, stay there. You know, I don't get a chance to do this often, but before we end the program, I just wanted to invite you to the Good Friends Fellowship if you live in the greater Toronto area. Good Friends Fellowship is in downtown Orangeville at 219 Broadway. And our Sunday services occur at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time and believers meeting at 6 p.m. in the evening. We also have 2020 Bible study every Wednesday night at 7:30. We want to extend an invitation for you to join us at Good Friends Fellowship. We'd love to talk to you. So if you're visiting or traveling through or moving through the Toronto area, why don't you come to Orangeville and see us at the Good Friends Fellowship? We'd love to meet you and talk with you and get to know you at Good Friends Fellowship, 219 Broadway in Orangeville, Ontario. As we close the program out, consider that Jesus Christ gave us the Word of God, and God sent His only Son to die for us, that no matter what our future holds, He will prepare us for it and protect us from evil. That protection can be yours today if you reach out to Jesus Christ and just simply say to Him, Lord, come into my heart, be a part of my life, and protect me for the future. I accept You as Lord, and I'm looking forward to being with You forever. Do it today because we are in the end of time. I'm Rod Hembree. Join us next time for Faith Factor.